Another part of the narrative has been related to the film industry, which has been forced to react. Joining us now, Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer, our movie date team. They've been following the film industry's response to this. In addition to hosting the podcast, Rafer is film critic for Newsday. Kristen is culture producer for The Takeaway. And a reminder, you can always subscribe to Movie Date at facebook.com/Movie Date Podcast. So obviously, we've seen photos of Christian Bale visiting victims in the hospital. What's been the response of the production company behind the actual Batman movie? That was the film that the people were watching when the shooting occurred.
Warner Brothers reacted pretty swiftly. They at first they kind of went into, I think, bunker mode. They canceled a premiere in Paris. They withdrew cast and crew from some scheduled media interviews, and they weren't saying much. They released a statement saying that they were, you know, deeply saddened by the event. And then later, I think things began to trickle out. You know, they had the Christian Bale visiting people. They donated money to a fund, reportedly about $1 million to a fund for the victims. So they've started to step forward and come a little bit out of what I think was a bit of a crouch at first.
And it appears that it didn't hurt ticket sales at all.
No, it certainly didn't. I mean, it got to $160 million over the opening weekend, and
yeah.
What is it up to now? About 300 something.
Probably would have done that anyway, regardless.
I think it probably would have anyway. I think again, not to be completely cynical, but I think no publicity is bad publicity in some ways. I mean, this film got, the film was being talked about. Everybody was talking about this movie. It was everywhere. You know, I mean, I think it just, if anything, it raised the profile.
But let's talk about a couple movies where the production companies are very worried about the kind of publicity we get. And the first one is Gangster Squad. The Warner Brothers, the same company that produced Dark Knight, has pulled the trailers for this movie. Why?
Yeah, this is a trailer that was showing before Dark Knight and other movies, an action movie. And the pivotal scene includes people going into a movie theater with guns and shooting up the crowd. Now, this movie was supposed to be released on September 7th. They've reportedly since decided to push the date back further so they can either cut those scenes, re-edit the movie, do something with it. So Warner Brothers is trying to respond in that way.
And then we have, of course, famously, The Watch, which wasn't called The Watch when it was originally scheduled for release.
Right, which is called Neighborhood Watch, which is coming out today. And, of course, it was about these four suburban dads, these kind of bonehead characters who form their own, you know, suburban patrol unit.
Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn.
Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill, who plays this very amped up police academy reject who's looking for action. And I think once the Trayvon Martin shootings came to light and there was all that controversy about it, they decided to just call the film The Watch and sort of distance themselves, I think, at least in the trailers and at least in publicity, distance themselves from the Neighborhood Watch title.
You know, I mean, this seems to... Very often, movies have cultural echoes, that they echo something that's actually going on in real life, sometimes in positive ways and sometimes in negative ways, as in this case. And you rarely can actually draw real parallels between them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how often does the film industry have to do things like this, like change names, change sometimes stars, change release dates in order to respond to a news headline?
Absolutely, they have to do this. Sometimes, you know,
it's a big thing
like Trayvon Martin, but sometimes it's something that you would never see coming, like an Ice-T movie that came out during the wake of the L.A. riots, the Rodney King riots. There was a movie that was supposed to be called Looters, and they had to rename it Trespass. And then, of course, during the September 11th era, several movies had to be moved around, titles changed, and so on. One of the big ones was Collateral Damage,
that movie
starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, his family. He's a firefighter in the movie. They die in a bombing. They had to push that back. It was supposed to come out October 2011, and they waited until 2001, and then it came out about 8 months after it was supposed to first come out.
And then somehow the audiences digest these movies, and do you think they when they're watching something like Collateral Damage, were they thinking about September 11th, Rafer?
You know, it's hard to say. I remember seeing a movie just after September 11th called Don't Say a Word with Michael Douglas. Not a very good film. It's a real B-grade thriller. And there's a film of someone, a segment of someone being buried alive in that film. The villain, and that a typical kind of action sequence. But after September 11th, as I recall, the crowd just went cold. Everyone went dead quiet. And I just think it was too close. And anything like that, I think, just brought up these horrible memories of September 11th and what it might have been like to be in that building. I remember just a chilly silence descended on the audience. And I walked out, you know, having been pulled out of this movie-going experience by these recent events. I think it can happen. I think it takes a long time before people start to get enough distance from that kind of stuff. You know, the worse the tragedy, I think the longer it takes. I mean, how long before we saw actual 9/11 films that seemed to get some traction with people? The one I'm thinking of is Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Yeah,
you know, that was the first movie I can think of that really...
It wasn't a documentary.
That was not a documentary.
Right,
Fahrenheit
9/11,
exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. That tried to dramatize it and really, you know, kind of... not exploit, but capitalize on it. You use it for dramatic purposes. You know what I'm saying?
Or to help, or a cathartic experience.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
But
exactly.
It's a very fine line between catharsis and distress, right?
Yes, yes.
Our Movie Date podcast team, you can subscribe at facebook.com/MovieDatePodcast. Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer. Rafer is also film critic for Newsday. Kristen is culture producer for The Takeaway. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.